Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome into Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. The day before the big game between the Titans and the Colts. We'll get to a lot of that here in the show today. Looking forward to that. Derek Mason, Vanderbilt football coach, will join us at 7:30. Stephen Holder, who writes for The Athletic, covers the Colts, will join us at 8:30. And then our man Hal Gill joins us at 9:30. So looking forward to that, fellas. How are we doing today?
Good. It's game eve. Game day eve. So it's good. Good. Excited about that. Things are moving along in the NFL. Not so much in the SEC.
Not so much. Porth, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
That's good.
Just fine.
Very rainy outside. Was not a fan of that this morning. But to your point, Joe, not a good day again yesterday in the SEC. We talked about the postponements due to COVID-19 yesterday. Auburn and Mississippi State had their game moved from Saturday to December 12th. Now locally, games being affected here in the SEC. Texas, A&M, and Tennessee will not play on Saturday. Their game has been also postponed until December 12th. And then the big matchup of the week in the SEC, Alabama and LSU, also not happening. So lots of things going wrong with COVID-19 in the SEC and impacting some pretty high-profile games both here locally and on the national scene as well in the SEC.
So they're still calling all of them postponements, which, of course, the problem is that LSU has a rescheduled game already for that December 12th date. So I don't know how that's exactly going to work. They might play some games on the day of the SEC championship game, but Florida's probably going to be in that.
Well, I guess Alabama's probably going to be in that,
Alabama's
too.
Alabama's going to be in that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's the key one, is that Alabama's going to be that. So I'm assuming that game won't happen. I don't know how they're going to find a way. They're going to put it on a Wednesday? They're going to double it up?
Well,
in a week?
I don't know, because the game that LSU had postponed was the Florida game, and it's supposed to happen December 12th. Well, that's fine, but if you move it back the next week, I mean, Florida's not going to want to play a week before they're going to the SEC championship game and then have Alabama off for 2 weeks.
Right.
Like, I mean, you may have to, but that's Florida's going to look at that and be like, what the heck? Alabama gets 2 weeks off and we got to go out here and play LSU?
Right, exactly. There's going to be a lot of complaining. But I think it'll happen. I think every game that can possibly happen will happen. LSU's going to be like, yeah, we're playing that game. Yeah. Yes. So.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why right now it's being reported as potential postponement, because it doesn't work out that way. But I guess we'll have to see. But, it's a problem, and it's not just the SEC, of course. I mean, it's been in the Big Ten and the Pac-12, too, but it seems like it's all of a sudden just really hitting the SEC.
Absolutely. And yesterday, Trevor Maddich joined Jared and the GM to offer his thoughts on everything going on right now in the SEC. Here's what Trevor Maddich had to say.
It is kind of crazy that they started so well, and all of a sudden now you're having so many problems. And from a standpoint of, academically on paper, all they need to do really is have Alabama and Florida make it through to the end. And then, the SEC champion, off they go to the playoff and you're good to go. They need to have Texas A&M make it through to the end. But they're canceled as well here now. Their game with Tennessee just got canceled. So ultimately, if it's a game of attrition, then they need their top teams to not fall prey to that attrition. And if we're able to do that and then have the rest of the other teams go in and out and in of being able to play to keep up a quorum, basically, of teams so the conference remains viable, then they're going to be fine.
So, Joe, what do you make of what Trevor Maddich had to say there yesterday on Jared and the GM, talking about, the top teams in the SEC, as long as, Alabama and Florida and Texas A&M, they don't get their schedules too far off course, then the SEC as a whole will be fine.
Well, I mean, okay, so all due respect to Trevor, let's look at the Big Ten. The SEC could lose several games and still be the same as the Big Ten, right? So why does it matter? Like, what is viable? I mean, if Alabama didn't play another game right now, I'd put them in the playoff.
Yeah.
Is that not viable? I mean, do we want to have a playoff? If we want to have a playoff, then we're going to have a playoff, and I don't care how many games get canceled. You know what I mean? So I don't really follow that line of thinking of what is, like, remaining viable. I mean, you want to keep playing. You want these games for the inventory, for the money that they still bring, for the TV money, all that stuff. That's why they're important. When you talk about getting through to the end, we're going to get through to the end, and there's going to be teams picked. I don't care what happens from here, between here and then. So I disagree with Trevor.
And Alabama's going to be one of those teams. Like, they, right. I mean, they're going to play in the SEC title game, and Florida's got a chance, I would say, to beat them. But Alabama, even if they lose once, probably could still be one of those teams. So they're in very good shape.
Yeah.
Right now,
yeah, they're
in terms of viability.
You know, so Tennessee now is looking at. Of course, I know a lot of Tennessee fans this week have been like, "Well, wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to not have a football game Saturday." But now that's going to be the latest game ever played at Neyland Stadium,
mm-hmm.
and also that means that they are going to wrap up back to back with a little Florida Texas A&M.
Yep.
So
at home,
yeah, at
both
home
of them
for whatever that's worth. But yeah, I mean that's not a great back-to-back combo. But they have this extra time now to figure whatever they need to figure out and get ready for Auburn.
I'm starting Harrison Bailey against Auburn.
Yeah?
That's the route I'm going. You got 2 weeks. Get him ready. At this point, get the kid ready. I mean, I said it yesterday on the Power T podcast and recorded that before the games got canceled, but there's only two quarterbacks that even enter the conversation for me anymore. Brian Maurer doesn't need to see the field again. JT Shrout's not going to see the field again. I think that was made pretty clear when he didn't even travel to Fayetteville in the game on Saturday. So I think we know where we stand there, but there's no reason to put Maurer back on the field. You know what he is. You know what Garantano is, and I can still probably listen to the argument. He gives you the best chance to win, but Garantano had his best right now. How many of these games are you going to win? Vanderbilt? Okay, that's fine. Get ready. Get the kid ready. Get some excitement built up towards next year. To me, that's the only way that Jeremy Pruitt can get some sort of hope from this fan base heading in the right direction heading into next year. Jarrett Garantano, I mean, it's just not going to accomplish anything, in my opinion.
Okay, but if you're Jeremy Pruitt and you know that you absolutely have to win any football game you can possibly win, and you're there every day and you're like, I have a better chance with Garantano right now than this freshman. What are you supposed to do?
Well, I mean, let's analyze that for a second. What chance do you have with Garantano? You're obviously afraid to throw the ball. Like, you're terrified to throw the ball with him. You don't trust him at all. He threw 8 passes on Saturday against Arkansas.
Well, okay, but I didn't watch that first half and think, God, they're afraid of throwing the ball. I thought just they were running like rampant and they had some nice play action stuff and it was perfect.
He threw 42 yards.
Right. I understand.
Like, so the thing he threw out there yesterday of sometimes you got to run, sometimes you got to throw, they weren't throwing. Like, it's just totally one-dimensional with Garantano out there. I mean, it's obvious they don't trust him.
If they have had these stretches with him, like last year with Mississippi State, they put him in, it's like, then you're not, okay, then don't have him out there. But they've also had games, I mean, Georgia, he throws 2 bombs and they get touchdowns on both. I mean, they've thrown the ball with him. He's thrown it well. He actually threw it pretty well against Alabama a lot of that game, too.
He did.
I mean, you know, it's if they are in that mode, like, oh no, it's bad Jarrett and we're not throwing it, then I agree. But if they are what they looked like in the first half, 42 yards, I understand. The offense was functioning. And again, a couple of those third downs, he scrambled. He made a couple, you know, short throws, but he moved the chains on third down, diagnosed it, boom, quick hitter, first down. That's enough. It's game management that they feel good about a fifth-year senior doing over a true freshman, right?
Sure.
Again, if you think that's your best chance to win, I'm not going to the freshman yet.
Yeah, I guess my point is at some point realism has to enter the conversation as well. What is your record? If they started Harrison Bailey the rest of the way, these next 4 games, what's their record in your opinion? I say 1-3.
1-3, yeah.
What's their record if they start Garantano? 1-3.
It's probably 1-3.
So what's the difference?
Well, the difference is, again, you're Jeremy Pruitt, you're not accepting 1-3. You're like, well, we have to win the Auburn game. We have to find a way to win one of those other games at least. We have to. So what's the best chance? And I think it's obvious we know what he thinks, right? And I don't think what he thinks is crazy. I don't think it's as crazy as I think you think it is, and I think a lot of people think it is. I mean, a true freshman in this particular offense, especially, right? They could spend these 2 weeks and get them ready. And if that's the case, I think it'd be more exciting for Vols fans. And maybe at that point, it'd be about the same. But based on what we've seen from him, and even the good Garantano, I understand going with him still until you get to the point where, okay, the season is just thrown. It's not quite throwing the towel time yet, to me.
I think we're there.
Yeah?
You just lost to Arkansas.
Right.
They were 4-20 in the last 2 years.
It's a terrible loss.
It's throwing the towel time.
Wow, but then quit. I mean, which I think Ball says would be like, great.
That'd be great.
That's what we want. But he's not going to do it. I mean, he's not, you know, he's fighting for his job. I get what you're saying, but if you try to put yourself in his shoes and you want this job and you're trying to make it and get over the hump, you're finding every little edge in every single position. It's which player gives me the best chance to scratch out a win here. And I don't think it's the freshman over Garantano right now.
That's fine, but you win one more game. So you go and beat Auburn. You finish 4-6. Do you think finishing 4-6 or 3-7 is going to make a huge difference in the way Tennessee feels right now about this year?
I think that's a pretty big difference if you beat Auburn. If you show something. After that Arkansas game, right now people are expecting pure doom and gloom.
Right.
So if you go win at Auburn, at least I think anything positive you can do right now is important to do. I think every little thing you can do, because it's bad. The negativity's bad. And it's only going
to
get worse.
It is, and I think the way to make it better is the fan base, if you continue to start Garantano, and I realize you can't make all the decisions on the fan base. I'm totally aware of that. But if you go 4-6, let's say Garantano sneaks up and they beat Auburn, just for the sake of, because let's be honest, they're not beating Texas A&M and they're not beating Florida. I don't care who's a quarterback. I don't care what they do. Let's say he's quarterback and they beat Auburn. Okay. You beat Auburn, you're 4-6. You still have a losing season, and there are still a ton of questions up in the air with Harrison Bailey. I think it's better PR-wise for him if Bailey comes in and plays, and you see some sort of progression from him the rest of the year. That, to me, is the only way that Tennessee fans say, "Oh, okay, going into next year, we saw that kid get better, and now hopefully you have a somewhat normal offseason, and he comes in next year and is ready to go at that point." To me, he looks better doing that than he would even if they beat Auburn with Garantano at quarterback.
Yeah, well, I understand what you're saying. There's also the risk of throw him out there and he doesn't get better and he gets worse and he loses confidence and all this, and then it's even worse. It's like, oh, here we go, another QB who's a bust, they made a mistake or they can't develop or whatever.
He's in a bad spot.
He's in a bad spot, but I think you got to make the decision on – you just have to make the decision on right now at this very moment as we look at Auburn, what's the best way to win that game? If it's like, you know what, pour it all into the freshman, then that's it. I don't think that's what he'll decide, and I don't blame him. I think you can still have a lot of Harrison Bailey this year and maybe get that win and still have a lot of Bailey in those two games, because I agree with you. I don't think they're going to – come close against Florida and Texas A&M. You can play him a lot in those games and try to point to something in the future, maybe even start him, you know. But I think this game, you could stop the bleeding here with one win at Auburn, whether it means that much or not.
When we come back, some big-time news yesterday on the injury front for the Tennessee Titans that could impact the game tomorrow against the Colts. We'll discuss what that is on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, some big news yesterday on the injury front for the Tennessee Titans. Jadeveon Clowney back on the practice field. Roger Saffold back on the practice field. Two guys that I was honestly not expecting to be out there and maybe not expecting to play on Thursday against Indianapolis. a very good sign yesterday that those two are back on the field, because especially with Clowney, I know that they didn't have him on Sunday and things look pretty good against Chicago, but you need all hands on deck against this offensive line. And Clowney, I know that he has been bad so far this year relative to what expectations were, but you're going to need him at some point if this defense is going to be what it can be down the stretch, and that is at least an adequate defense.
Yes. So what do you think is more important, Clowney or Saffold?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think in this particular game, I may give the edge to Saffold, because I'll be honest with you, like with even with Clowney in there, I'm not sure they're getting to Rivers anyway. So I think being able to run the ball in this game against Indy and having your best run blocker in there, I think that could be huge, because we've talked about some of the additions that Indy's made in the running game and DeForest Buckner being there and what a beast he is. It's going to be challenging for the Titans to run the ball without Michael Pruitt, who, as you've mentioned, is a great run blocker. Getting Saffold back, I think, could be huge, especially because you're already without Lawan. You don't want your left side of your line to be just totally different. And I think getting Saffold back for this game could be huge.
No, I agree. And I think the step down is pretty big. You know, I think Jamil Douglas did a good job the other day. But Saffold is – he's an elite run blocker in this league, and he's played well overall. And I agree, that whole left side to be different for this defensive front would not be great. But, yes, Clowney, absolutely. Important to have him. I understand that they had a good game without him, so – hey, get rid of him too. Got rid of Beasley, get rid of Clowney. No, you do not want to do that. I think it would be, you know, if Clowney, if this rest on the knee helped him, and then he's going to get more rest. He's going to get another 10-day break before Baltimore. If that helps him be a little bit more effective, I think it could be a decent rotation with Roberson as the third guy. You know, Wyatt Ray was the third guy the other day. He got a few snaps. You could see a difference. I liked what Roberson gave. And you know, they could come up with different things, too, to have Roberson, Clowney, Land. I mean, they could do different things to try to get, obviously, multiple pass rushes on the field together, too. So, but I think in your first and second down, you're still better with Clowney than Roberson.
Which surprised you more to see him out there yesterday, Clowney or Saffold? Because we heard, you know, obviously with the shoulder with Saffold, you didn't know how severe it was. But with Clowney, we heard reports from Mike Garofolo that maybe surgery could be required. Which one surprised you more yesterday to see out there?
Clowney, and by the way, I was the first media member to see it. So
yes,
very,
pat yourself on the back.
Very
go.
Proud of myself. Usually I'm not even looking. I'm just, you know, like looking around, looking at like the kid in the outfield in the Little League game, looking at daisies and stuff and looking at the clouds. But I actually said, hey, because usually John Glennon, he gets there, he's got his notebook, and he is like the whole roster number. He's seeing, he's
like
taking roll.
1999. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's something to behold.
Now, Glenn, I mean, that's his routine. And so I was with Teresa Walker, and I was like, wait, I mean, that's got to be Clowney, right? Look, that's got to be Clowney over there. They were on the other side of the field warming up. She's like, I think you're right. I'm like, Glennon, did you see Clowney? He's like, what? Oh, man, we got him. It was very, very gratifying. And
I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. And I was very surprised, yeah, because, again, I mean, even – like, he's had weeks before where he didn't practice and still played. So I was like, okay, well, at least he's going to take this day off. Saffold, we got the idea on Monday that he was a partial participant.
A theoretical limited participant.
Yeah. So, you know, that gave you a little hint that maybe he'd be out there. And that the thing, you know, maybe it was just a bad stinger the other day. You don't want to mess around in the middle of a game and throw a guy back out there against that front. But that's good news. But the Clowney thing, yeah, a little bit surprising. And who knows, maybe he'll have a little bit of extra juice after that extra rest.
Do you think that the Titans did this intentionally to keep him out of the game on Sunday so he's ready for this big divisional matchup on Thursday night?
Like, I don't know if it was
a little bit of gamesmanship.
Yeah, I don't know if it was like pre-planned. Like, you know what, you're going to sit out the Chicago game, you come back for Indy. It seems like it's a pretty fluid situation with him, but – it makes sense. You get him a break before this. You get him a break after this. This is a huge game. If you're going to – you want as many of your good players you can have in this game, so it kind of works out well. Another guy, by the way, who I wouldn't look for is Adam Humphries. And,
yep.
You know, Adoree Jackson right now. I mean, today I think we'll get the transaction notice that Adoree Jackson was activated. But, of course, that does not mean he has to be part of the active 48. It doesn't look like he will be.
Is that not starting to get really weird to you at this point that he's been practicing for like 3 weeks and by all indications, like when you watch him out there with your marvelous videos that you take, he looks good. I mean, he looks like he's moving around pretty well, but just can't get on the field. It's been really strange to me the last few weeks to watch this with Adoree Jackson.
Yeah, it's a little different. You don't normally see someone out there that much if they're not able to play in a game. I mean, the only thing I can think on this is it's just they're going to be as cautious as possible because they do not want to mess around with not having him down the stretch. I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense. Again, he's been out there quite a bit. Not every day, but quite a bit. Looking good, running well. You know, that they're not – when what we see is – running around doing some individual drills and stuff like that. It's not like we don't get to see a lot of team, and even in team they're not tackling and stuff like that. So you got to keep that in mind. But yeah, it's a little strange. I think it's got to be just no way they're going to mess around with having him for 2 weeks and then here we go again. You know, they need the guy to be what they want to be on defense.
And to your point, he's probably going to be activated today, would be my guess. I mean, this would be the 3 week mark, so he's got to be activated today. But that does not mean if he gets activated today that he's going to play tomorrow. So keep that in mind, Titans fans. If you're watching the transaction wire today and you see Adoree Jackson activated and you get all excited, it is great that he's activated. But hold the horses a little bit. I would severely doubt he plays tomorrow.
Yeah, and it means he takes up a roster spot, you know, that could be going to someone else. But, I don't see any scenario where he's not activated today. And I'd be – who knows? Maybe they'll spring a surprise and put him out there. But he hasn't been on the field this week, so that seems very unlikely.
So yesterday afternoon, Jared posed an interesting question to Floyd, which was if Adoree Jackson somehow suffered a setback in the last couple weeks and isn't available until closer to the playoffs, do you still activate him instead of letting him miss the rest of the season? How would you guys respond to that?
100%. I right away, boom, absolutely.
If you can have him for one game, yeah, I would activate. I mean, I think he's that important, especially this year when you can't get a pass rush. You need all the guys in coverage you can get.
Floyd said no.
Really?
Yeah.
Because of the roster spot?
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, if you say no to that, well, you don't think much of him, right? Or you think, I mean, like Breon Borders is going to come on. I still think Adoree Jackson is their best cover guy. And if you can have him at the very end and get him into the playoffs, then I think it's worth it.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler from Berry Hill text in. If that was the case with Adoree's injury, why would you designate him to return and then end up having to activate him and scratch him?
Yeah, well, I think clearly because there has been some kind of, if it's not setback, at least some sort of caution. It's here, like, not quite ready. So maybe not a full-on setback, but again, like that first week they designated him and he was out there and I was like, oh, here we go. He's back.
So, that was the week of the Pittsburgh game, right?
I think that's right. So, I don't think the plan from the start was, okay, we're going to designate him, and we're going to kind of throw him out there for 3 weeks and wait to the last day, and then who knows when he'll play. I don't think that was the plan when they designated him for return. So, that's what happens. You know, people have injuries, and then sometimes they have little setbacks or whatever it is. They're not quite feeling like they thought they felt. I mean, you know, last year we saw him activate Ryan Succop, and it was too early, and now he's someone else's kicker, kicking every field goal
making every field goal he tries out there. Yeah, I mean, it happens. It's not an exact science. And sometimes you get out there and you're feeling good one day, and the next day you tweak something again, and you've already been designated. We don't know that happened with Adoree, but certainly could be possible.
Sure seems
in this
way.
Instance. So, yeah. I mean, I think it's fair to say that he's at least close to coming back. I wouldn't expect this to be like another 4 or 5 week thing if he's been out on the field running around. Is that fair to say based on what you've seen?
Yeah. I can't think of another situation that's like that I've ever seen. You know, especially again, knee injury. And again, neither knee has even a sleeve on it when he's out there. So, I mean, I think it's mostly healed, but, you know, you got to make sure that he's ready to go. And again, I really do think it's at least somewhat caution of when he's in, and he's in.
Yeah.
And right now, if I had to guess, I would say it would be at Baltimore. But I've guessed a lot on Adoree Jackson this year.
You kind of sound like a broken record here the last few weeks.
Yes, I do. I'll keep saying it until it's true.
You'll get there eventually.
Yes.
You just got to keep doubling down. I like it. When we come back, we'll get to our poll question of the day on Twitter, at 1025 The Game, regarding where the Titans may end up at the end of the season. That's coming up next. But first, hope, health, and connection during these unsteady times. It's never been more important for all of us to have these in our lives, but it's even more so for our children and teens. So please join STARS for an important virtual campaign. Cherish the hope, health, and connection of our young people. This six-week campaign launched on Monday, October 19th, and will run until Tuesday, December 1st, which is Giving Tuesday. Please follow the campaign and celebrate all the incredible ways STARS provides hope, health, and connection within our community. All proceeds raised will go directly to their school-based prevention and mental health counseling services, as well as their intensive outpatient adolescent treatment program. To learn more, please go to starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Colts, a big-time AFC South matchup tomorrow in Music City. And we got another poll question today, Joe, at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. And today's question is this. If you were given Titans over-under odds of 10.5 wins for the season following the 6-2 start, would you take the over or would you take the under? So far, 115 votes in, 65% say over 10.5 wins, 35% say under 10.5 wins. So 6-2 right now on the season, 8 more games. Would you go over or under?
That's a lot of sunshine out there.
Lot of sunshine blowing going on.
All you got to do is beat Nick Foles, and everyone's all excited. Now look, hey, they're in a great position. They're 6-2. I mean, you got to go through the schedule with this, but I think I would take the
I'm going to.
Okay. You want me to do that?
I thought you were just going to go out there and call your shot.
Well, that's the thing. I could call my shot. I'm very good at just throwing out an opinion and then researching the opinion, you know? But, off the top of my head, I would take the over. Okay. I think they're going to go 5-3 in the second half.
So let's look at the schedule. You've got, obviously, tomorrow at home against Indy. Then you travel to Baltimore, at Indy, home Cleveland, at Jacksonville, home Detroit, at Green Bay, and at Houston. So I am also going to take the over. I figure probably the most likely scenario in the next 3 weeks is you split with Indy and you probably lose to Baltimore. So that's 2 losses right there, 1 win, you've got 7 wins. I look at the rest of the schedule, I think they'll beat Cleveland. I think they'll beat Jacksonville. I think they'll beat Detroit. Green Bay could be like a 45-41 final score either way. I don't know. And Houston, I think they'll win. That's 11 right there.
Of course, it is December 27th in Lambeau, so it also could be like 6-3. You know,
Derrick Henry's going to run for 400 yards in that game.
He probably is, and Aaron Jones is probably going to run for about 250. That's probably how that game's going to go.
And catch for about 100.
Yeah.
Okay, so it won't be 6-3. You guys have talked me out of it. Yeah, and look, if you go by the projected lines, I mean, I think they'll be favored in 5 of the 8, right? I mean, I think Indy will probably be a slight favorite at home. Well, maybe not. I don't know.
Probably close, slight.
Close to a pick 'em or Indy like, by 1.5, 2, something like that.
Probably slightly.
So if you go by that, they should win 5 of the 8. Now, we know how Jacksonville has been a problem, and honestly, you even think about Houston playing out the string. Last year, Houston didn't play its guys because they were in the playoffs.
Yeah.
This year, it's Houston playing out the string. Deshaun go out there and winging around a little bit.
Yeah.
Could they cause a problem for the Titans? Yes, they absolutely could.
And don't ever underestimate Jake Luton in front of me with Jacksonville.
What's the deal with that? Is he the guy? Like Minshew, is that a serious injury? I've kind of – the Jags have gone off my radar a little bit.
You know?
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
But either way, Luton, Minshew.
What's the difference?
Minshew.
Did you see the spin move
that
Luton put on him the other day?
That was very good.
Jacksonville is set at quarterback. They don't need Trevor Lawrence.
And that's what, Luton?
Jake.
Okay.
But I was really hoping for Jimmy.
Yeah. I kind of like Jimmy.
I mean, Luton mania just doesn't roll off the tongue like Minshew mania.
Well, it's not alliteration.
How about Luton Lunacy?
There you go. As long as you keep the alliteration involved, I think you're good there.
And alliteration and the same vowel.
Yeah.
You know, that's even better.
See,
Luton Lunacy, beautiful.
Well, you bring up the Week 17 game at Houston. What if the Titans already have the Division One?
Sure.
And they rest their starters like the Texans did last year in Week 17, and they're sitting at 10-5.
Then there you go. That's how you get to the under, even though it doesn't matter. So, but Titans fans would sign up for that right now.
They'd probably
make
that sacrifice.
10-6, win the division. It's fine. And you know what? 10-6 might just win the division. When you look at the Colts' schedule, the fact that they have the Steelers still ahead, they have
Packers.
The Packers still ahead. They have the Raiders still ahead, and the Raiders are
pretty good.
Yeah.
They're a team not many people are talking about right now in the AFC. Raiders, when they're on, they're pretty good.
Dolphins, too.
Yeah.
They are, yeah.
I mean,
they don't play them, but yes, you're saying their Dolphins are pretty good.
Right. And the Dolphins will be a factor in the AFC playoff race. They are right now.
Tell you what, man. Tua looked good the other day. He did.
The interesting game to me for the Titans, obviously, I mean, the Colts and Baltimore, the next 3 weeks goes without saying. Those are going to be some of the most crucial games of the year for the Titans. The Cleveland game, to me,
it's a big one.
Is where it could go either way. Like, it could be, you know, the Browns just are the Browns, and they show up and you just steamroll them at home. But we've seen, you know, the Browns team, when they're on and Baker's playing well, pretty good.
Well, and they should have Nick Chubb back, and they're running well with Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
But Nick Chubb is – I think Nick Chubb's right there with Derrick Henry and Dalvin Cook in terms of running the football as the best in the league, and they run it really well. Jack Conklin will come in here wanting to play, and he's really changed their offensive line. They're one of the best run-blocking offensive lines in football. Yeah, if Baker has one of his days, I mean, he's the one who's just so –
he's erratic.
All over the place.
Yeah.
But that could absolutely be a tough game. They can rush the passer, too.
See, this is why I would lean under on that over-under.
Okay.
Because of the factor of the potential of Week 17, you could already have the Division One at that point, resting your starters at 10-5. But I agree with Robbie that in all likelihood, you're probably sitting at 7-4 after these next 3 weeks, which means then in the last five in December, you'd have to go 4-1 to hit the over. And I know the schedule eases up, but the Cleveland game is going to be tough. The Green Bay game isn't going to be easy at Lambeau. I would lean under just, you know, playing the odds in that they finish at 10-6.
You know, the Green Bay game, another thing about that one is it doesn't happen a lot, but the Packers could be set by then. With that division, I think the Bears are heading toward what they really are.
Packers probably will be set by then.
You know, I mean, the Vikings actually could go on a little run with their schedule, but they're probably going to have it clinched, right?
Probably, but
are they resting starters in Week 16?
Probably not Week 16. Like, you don't want to have too much time. And
yeah,
you got to remember
Aaron Rodgers, though.
One spot as a bye week this year in the playoffs. So we've seen it. The NFC, who in the world knows who's going to be the one seed in the NFC right now? The Packers probably will still have that to play for would be my guess.
That's true, and that's the thing. And if they're out of, could you be both out of the one seed and done with this? That's probably the only way. Because I'd think about putting him down for a couple weeks. Who cares? He'll be fine.
Maybe activate Jordan Love.
Freaking Rodgers. There you go.
Maybe he could be active the first time the whole year against the Titans.
You'd
maybe
be
play.
You'd be all excited about that, wouldn't you?
Oh, I'd be really fired up about that one. That'd be nice. What happens if the Titans go out here in the next three weeks and go 2-1, and the two wins are against the Colts? Are you willing to say at that point the division race is over if they win both games against the Colts?
Okay, so are we assuming, because it matters what happens in between it too, we assuming that the Colts and Titans both lose those games to the Packers and Ravens?
Let's assume that.
Okay. So then you're talking about
a three-game
lead.
The
5-6 Colts, and you're talking about, help me with the math, the 8-3 Titans. It's pretty
much over.
It's
got to be over at that point,
like,
right?
Just don't lose to the
Lions,
to the Jags and the Lions. And
the Motor City Kitties.
Yes. The roar is restored.
But not, I mean, they'd have a three-game lead and the tiebreaker.
And the tiebreaker. I mean, it's hard to... Even if they – so then at 8, again, so then right there, beat the Jags, beat the Lions, you have 10. And the Colts are at 5-6.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over. If they sweep them, it's over.
So that's how, I mean, that's how important tomorrow's game is you win tomorrow, regardless of what happens in Baltimore, you've got a chance, I mean, to put the nail in the coffin of the division the next week in Indy. So, I mean, tomorrow's game for both teams, but I think for the Titans, you got a huge opportunity tomorrow to really put one foot in the door in terms of getting in the playoffs. I really believe that.
You do. And you also, flip it around, could just be thinking all sorts of bad things about what's ahead if you lose this game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's because now it's like, oh, so what if the Colts sweep you? And you go lose to Baltimore.
Yeah, I don't want to keep talking about the Baltimore game as if the Titans can't go in there and win, because I think they can.
I think they can, too.
But, I mean, the Ravens game on the road, it's going to be a tough game. So, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to think the next 2 weeks, 1-2, could be very much possible. Maybe even likely in this situation. So, getting a win tomorrow and getting that first step into the door of getting one of those wins with an opportunity, regardless of what happens in Baltimore, to come back and potentially finish off the Colts, at least in terms of the divisional race at that point, it's massive for the Titans tomorrow.
Right, and this is why it's so important that they got this bit of cushion, because honestly, if they win that game tomorrow, they can be 7-4 and be just fine.
Yeah.
They can't look at it that way. They shouldn't look at it that way, but the reality is they will be. They could go and lose the next two and still be set up for the stretch run.
Let's go back to the poll question. The lead is extending for the over on the 10.5 wins for the Titans. 67% now say over 10.5, 33% at under 10.5, 145 votes in so far. So we've gone from 65% to 67% in this conversation we're having right here. We're being very eye-opening to the people. The sunshine blowers coming in full force today, Joe.
And I think Porth made a good point, though, about why it could be an under, not just, you know, the fact that there's tough games and their stuff, but the fact that, you know, you really could be set and have no need to have to win that last game.
When we come back, how much could tomorrow's game change our opinion about what this Titans team really is? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the big one tomorrow between the Titans and the Colts. Thursday night football, the eyes of the nation on the Titans tomorrow. And an opportunity, Joe, that this Titans team has not had in a while here in terms of big-time divisional matchups with a team that you feel really good about the quarterback position. We're going to get into the history of the Colts and the Titans here coming up in the next segment, but I'm trying to think of the last time I felt like a Titans-Colts game was this big, and the one you obviously point to is a couple years ago with a playoff spot on the line. But honestly, like, how excited were we for that game knowing that Blaine Gabbert was going to be the quarterback heading into that game? Well, I had very low expectations.
Remember, though, that was not until at least the day before, if not day of. I think it was day of.
Right. But we knew that was a pretty good possibility based on what we'd seen.
Oh, gosh. So I'm trying to trust my memory now, which is a dangerous
proposition. Oh, boy.
But, I mean, Marcus was out there that week. So it was a shocker at the last minute. Now, at the very...
Was it a shocker?
I would say so.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it was because he had been playing, you know, all year. It's like he's the guitar string arm and he can't totally feel the ball and he's still throwing it and all that stuff.
Which sounds horrendously uncomfortable, by the way.
So, no, I mean, when he was ruled out for that game, it was like, whoa. And obviously there was like a second opinion involved and all this stuff. So, I don't know. That's a weird one because the place was packed. And I think that's the only time since I've been here, starting with the 2016 season, that I've seen that stadium full and really full of Titans fans.
Yeah.
Full and really just a home crowd. There were not many Colts fans at all. Great environment, huge game. Yeah, it's kind of like the downer during the day of it, like, oh, so it's going to be Gabbert.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you compare that. It was still awfully big. And the thing is, they still had a chance to win
that
game. You know, Jarrell Casey being out for that game was also a big problem.
Right. But I think you feel like heading into this game, for the first time in a long time, the Titans may even be better than the Colts are. Maybe not from a, obviously, a defensive standpoint, but when you factor in the offense, Tannehill, Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, all the different weapons the Titans have, you feel good about this game, I think, if you're a Titans fan. Now, obviously, we'll have to see how it plays out tomorrow, but let's say things go the wrong way, and the Colts come out tomorrow, and they get a win, and look pretty convincing in doing so. How does that change your opinion on where this team is right now, even sitting at 6-2 and leading the division heading into this game?
Well, if you go back to 2 years to now, since we've been talking about that game, the thing about that night before, after, that I remember thinking, saying, writing, was like, how can you be optimistic if you're the Titans when that guy is their quarterback and your quarterback already has questions and health is the number one question? How can you be optimistic about the future when you know you have to get past that team? And that dude is just not – he's going to beat you every time.
That dude, of course, being Andrew Luck.
Right. You know, so that's the thing about – now, even honestly to me, big picture, if the Colts come out tomorrow and find a way to win that game, which they certainly could. They're a very good team. I would not at all rule out the Titans going and returning the favor. I think it's –
sure.
I don't think it's like total panic. It doesn't mean it won't be. But I don't think it should be total panic time if they lose. And I'm not trying to get everybody all ready for this. I know it'll be very disappointing. And as Porth has pointed out, the history is not good here at home, overall, Titans and Colts. But I just think that this Titans team could lose that game and they could go win the next one. Well, last year we saw that, although last year that was different quarterback.
Yes. Also, with the other side, and we're going to get into this a little bit later, but with Rivers, he could come out tomorrow and throw for 400 yards, and you'd be like, okay. And then 2 weeks from now, it could come out and throw you 5 interceptions. Like, that's a different place they're in right now than, like, Andrew Luck, you knew what he was going to be. Like, he's going to be really good game in and game out. Philip Rivers, you don't really feel the same way. Ryan Tannehill, I think he's done enough at this point for the Titans where you know what he's going to be. He's going to be pretty good. And how good probably varies, but on the scale of quarterback play, he's going to fall somewhere in line of he gives you a chance to win. And that's the difference to me heading into this matchup against the Colts is for the first time in a long time at that position, number one, I feel like the Titans have an advantage. But number two, you don't feel like you're going to get a big play in that game from the quarterback to screw it up. And that is it's a much different spot to be in right now.
Yeah, how many times when they've played have the Titans definitely had the better quarterback, which I think is the case now. Some people might say, Philip Rivers, Hall of Fame, what are you talking about? But Titans definitely have the better quarterback. How many times has that happened over all these years? I mean, because McNair was great, but Manning was better.
Yeah.
I mean,
outside of the two seasons, the one where Peyton Manning was out all year and then the one where Andrew Luck was out all year and they had
Jacoby Brissett in there. And Mariota was better than him.
I mean, they faced Dan Orlovsky in 2011 and still lost to him.
Friend of the show.
That's right.
Yes.
Gotta bring that up next time.
But
Porth didn't believe me when I told him that happened. They absolutely did.
I thought it was Curtis Painter.
It was Dan Orlovsky.
I remember Curtis Painter putting in some nice relief effort for the Colts.
Yeah, I saw Curtis Painter outside of the Palm one time after a Preds game. It was a great sight.
Curtis Painter.
Purdue legend.
Yeah. What a quarterback.
I mean, the Titans have beaten Jim Sorgi once upon a time.
Yeah.
At the end of the 07 season, week 17, the Titans needed a win to get into the playoffs. The Colts had everything locked up, and the Titans went into Indy and won that against Jim Sorgi.
Hey.
Yeah.
It's better than losing to Jim Sorgi.
Yeah. But to your point, like, it hasn't happened very often where there's been a quarterback advantage for the Titans. Like, even last year in the second game, Marcus against Brissett, like,
Second game of the year.
Right.
First game against the
Colts. Right.
But Brissett, Eddie George and Steve McNair Day and all that stuff.
Yeah. Brissett outplayed him in that game. He absolutely did.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I don't remember Brissett doing anything great, but I remember Marcus being bad.
Yeah.
That was one of those. Oh,
well, Marcus
man.
Turned the ball over, and that's what you can't have.
And just in the pocket, he was bad. And, of course, that was also a field goal missing game, too,
yeah.
if I'm not mistaken.
It was.
Right?
Yeah. It was.
some themes from last year.
Can't have that.
It was also the you knew what was going to happen when during warmups the fire machine tipped over and nearly set the whole place ablaze. That was that game.
I totally forgot about that. When they set the field on fire. Yeah. Oh, what a metaphor that was for the start of the season.
Yeah, this might not be the day.
Did you know at that point how that day was going?
Well, of course, in my mind, I'm like, well, I know what I'm leading with in the column if they lose. So, and I did. Sometimes it's good to be predictable.
Well, even in the second game against the Colts later in the season when they had that fourth quarter rally to win the game, Tannehill at that point in the season was still a lot better than Brissett.
Yeah.
And they needed a couple of breaks to go their way just to win that game.
Yeah. Well, they didn't play well early, for sure. Tannehill didn't play well. But then, yeah, Henry took over. You got the – that was the
block
punt block.
Yeah.
And then you got Tannehill to Khalif Raymond to put it away. And I heard John Robinson, you know, in the booth next to us, like howling, like a just hitting stuff. And I was like, well, I hear J-Rob's pretty excited. You know what stinks, by the way, about Thursday? I just thought of this. We're not going to get Chris Ballard in the booth.
No.
Chris Ballard in the press box, because normally the GMs, opposing GMs, sit in the press box with you. That guy is just incredible. And usually I'm close to him, and he swears or screams or yells or hits something after every play. It's incredible.
God.
You gotta, COVID. Thanks a lot, COVID.
You got to like the emotional investment from Chris Ballard there.
He's something else.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in, for years I used to think that if we can only beat the Colts twice and any other rival that year, I wouldn't care if we won any more games. That's how bad I used to want to beat the Colts. This game, I think, means a lot to Titans fans. The Colts have pushed the Titans around for a long time, whether it was Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck. Now the Titans are back up to where they're relevant again in the conversation in the NFL. They're coming off the AFC title game. This is a big one for Titans fans, I think, to exact a little revenge this year, maybe. I know it's making Porth incredibly nervous.
Well, and this is why
I can see it on his face.
Yeah,
I'm nervous.
So the Colts are like the Lucy to the Titans, Charlie Brown. That's what they've kind of
nice,
done, right? A little bit.
That was very good.
I mean, I don't know how many of those games it was like the Titans had it won and then they blew it at the end. But there's definitely been some games. But there's been some games where they were supposed to win and they just blew it.
Right? The Colts have won 19 of the last 23 in this matchup, which is ridiculous to begin with,
especially in the NFL.
And there have absolutely been clunkers, whether it's in Indy or in Nashville, on the Titans end of things. But there absolutely also have been some games where the Titans have had a chance in the fourth quarter to make a play to win a game or hold on to a lead, and they just can't do it.
Yeah.
And week two against Indy last year is a perfect example. Marcus Mariota back in 2016 had a game where at home they were, I believe, in the lead with like 5 minutes left. They let the lead slip away, and then he had a game-ending fumble.
Which was it return for TD? I think it was.
By Robert Mathis, who has been a Titans, who was a Titans killer in his day.
Up there back in that year.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
So there have totally been games where the Titans have had it in their hands and then it just slips away.
Yeah.
See, I think the Colts should be the most hated team for Titans fans because of that. I know the Jaguars have screwed some things up, but the Titans messed up the Jaguars' special year where they thought they were going to win it all, you know? They should hate the Titans. Titans should hate the Colts.
Well, the Jags do hate the Titans.
Yeah.
Their fan base, by far, I think the Titans are number one.
But I feel like Titans fans are more focused on them, too. I could be wrong. Maybe it's just like we don't want to mess –
Yeah, you don't really see, like, Titans fans and Colts fans really getting into it all that much on social media.
No, you don't.
You see it a lot with Jags fans.
1,000%. Even Texans fans.
Yeah.
You see it a lot.
Are Colts fans just very
– maybe they're just very nice.
It's very nice. Hoosiers.
Could be.
They're more worried about Indiana basketball.
And that's out there in Big Ten country. You'd have to tell me, what's your experience been like with Colts fans?
Fine. I like Indy.
It's been very good.
Slippery Noodle. Might be the greatest bar in America.
Wow. That's a bold statement there. But no, I mean, to me, in terms of what this game could tell me, particularly if it goes the way offensively, I think it could go for the Titans. I think it's going to be a struggle to run the ball, especially early, because Indy's going to focus in on that.
But if you can find a way to get the lead in this game, and even though they're trying to stop the run with Derrick Henry and they're putting 8 or 9 in the box, and you're able to run it anyway and establish your will, put some drives together, to me that tells me that the running game's coming along and you feel good about it the rest of the season, even with no Lawan in there. And getting Saffold back for that game, I think, is a huge part of that, because honestly, that was going to be really concerning to me if you have no Lawan and also Jahmyr Douglas in there rather than Roger Saffold. To me, that's not a spot you want to be in heading into this game in particular.
Yeah, well, the running game is I'm not convinced the Titans are going to have a lot of success running the ball in this game. And really, you think about these next three games,
yep.
This is going to be by far the toughest sledding that they've got. Indy's third in the league and Baltimore is eighth in the league. Indy's given up 83 yards a game on the ground. You look at the rest of the schedule and it falls off from there. So if they can run the ball in these games, then they can run the ball on anybody.
And what offensively does the game plan look like for Arthur Smith in terms of, do you trust your O-line a little bit more in this game in pass protection and allow some of these routes and some of these options for Tannehill to develop? Because we talked about it with Floyd earlier in the week. Like, Jonnu Smith's chipping a lot right now. He's not been much of a weapon in the passing game. I think he's going to have to be in this game. I think you're going to have to use the weapons you have offensively. A.J. Brown's good. Corey Davis maybe has a bounce-back game in this game. But you're going to need Jonnu Smith in these next three games to give you something over the middle, especially if Adam Humphries can't go. I mean, that's a huge loss.
Yeah, and I think Anthony Firkser will also be important. He dropped some couple passes the other day, but I think if you did a trust chart with Tannehill, I think Firkser is right up there with anybody in terms of, quick hitters, move the chains type plays in the red zone. He likes to find them. So I think he's going to be important too. But I agree, Jonnu Smith being involved, getting Corey Davis involved again, I think Tannehill's going to have to throw the ball quite a bit Thursday night. I just, knowing what we know about the Colts and what DeForest Buckner has done to really transform their defense, they're tough. That's a tough crew. But if the Titans can run on them and get them into the fourth quarter and be ahead and maybe pop some runs there, that's the formula.
When we come back, we'll revisit some old history with the Colts and the Titans and tell you why this may be an excellent opportunity for the Titans to exercise some demons of years gone by. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.